Once again, we're glad for the presence of everybody here. We do have some visitors, and we want to make sure you feel welcome and you're able to come back and be with us at every opportunity. Tonight I want to talk about something taken from one of the Psalms called My Shield and My Glory. And it's going to be describing what and who God is and what He does for us. Now in Psalm chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, it reads, "But Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and He answered me from His holy mountain. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about." God is a shield. And He is also our glory. If He's not your glory, He should be. And we'll get into these descriptions as we go along. And God will cause our head to be lifted. And if we treat God right, then that should happen. God allows us to talk to Him. Several months ago, we had a couple of sermons on the privilege of prayer. And we certainly don't take advantage of that privilege very often. And we should. And so God allows us to talk to Him. God answers us in various ways. Sometimes it's a flat out no. And sometimes something happens that we don't know why it happened. But guess what? Let's just give God the glory for it. Let's give God the credit. He deserves a lot of credit because we know He takes care of His children. He watches over them. And so He answers us in various ways. Sometimes He might send a person your direction to say those words that you need to hear. And we can be at peace with God. If we're having problems, if we're not living righteously, we're not at peace with God. There's an animosity between us. And we need to remove that animosity. And if we turn to God, that animosity will be taken away. So we can be at peace with God. And we should have no fear because God takes care of us. Yeah, we get concerned when we see acts of nature, earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes that are going on right now. We recognize the gravity of the danger that is present in those things. But yet, if our trust is in God, we should not fear. You know, He said, don't fear the one who could take your life, but fear the one who can send your soul into hell. So, yes, we can put our trust in God to take care of us. Now, concerning my shield, in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 29, it says, "Blessed are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? Who is the shield of your help and the sword of your majesty? So your enemies shall cringe before you, and you shall tread upon their high places." In 2 Samuel 22 and verse 3 says, "My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, Thou dost save me from violence." Look at all these descriptions of God, and you see the protection in each one of these. He is our God. He is our rock. He is our refuge. He is our shield. He is the horn of our salvation. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And He is our stronghold and our refuge. He is our Savior. And He does save us. Psalm 28, verse 7. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exults, and with my song I shall thank Him." How often do we thank God? Not enough. Yeah, we ask Him for things, He provides it for Him, and then we start looking for the next thing we can ask Him for. And it's just a constant, give me, give me, give me. And we're not saying, thank you, Lord. We don't do that enough. In Psalm 33 and verse 20, "Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield." In Genesis 15 and verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward will be very great." You know, God spoke to Abram three times and gave him the promise. Back in chapter 12 and here in chapter 15, and then later on, I think around chapter 19, he repeats it. Then he repeats that same promise to Isaac and later to Jacob. And so, yes, the Lord said these things, and we know what Romans chapter 4 says, and Abram believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, because Abram did what God asked him to do. All right, Ephesians 6 and verse 16. When we put on the whole armor of God, this is one of the things. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. The evil one being Satan is always attacking us. But if we take our faith and set it up there between us, we'll ward off all of his attacks, all of his temptations, everything he can to get us to turn away from God. And so that's why we need that shield and why we need to treat it as a shield. The shield is our protection. And God is our protection. And we just have to recognize that. And he is also our protector. All right, like David, who wrote this in a time of difficulty, we find ourselves in difficult times. See, David's son at that time was trying to kill him. His son, Absalom, did not like the policies of his father, and so his son made a contract with a bunch of bad people, some of his enemies, and he basically put a bounty on David's head. Whoever kills him, I'll give him a lot of gold and silver and money and things like that. And so all these people were chasing David. And David felt like he couldn't go anywhere. He was hiding in the brush. He ran to the forest and hid among the trees. He went into caves to hide. And he was in fear for his life. And what better time to cry out, says, "Lord, help me." David had nowhere else to go except for his faith in God to protect him. Our glory. Let's talk about that for a minute. There's several things mentioned in the scripture as being glory. And the woman's hair is our glory. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 15. And then the cloud that guided the Israelites in the tabernacle was called the glory of God. You remember that when they brought them out of Egypt, God put the cloud by day and the fire by night. And when it was time for the Israelites to go, the cloud covered over the Ark of the Covenant that they carried wherever they went. And when it stopped, this is where we make camp. And so it was called that. Many years later, when Solomon finally erected the temple, it says the priest carried in the ark into the temple to place it there in the most holy place. And it says the glory of the Lord was in the cloud that filled the house. In fact, the priest had to get out because it was choking them. And so they had to get out very quickly. And so that was the glory of God. To God be the glory. We recognize that. We sing a song like that. But in 1 Peter 4:11, anything we do by the strength of God, so that in all things God may be glorified. And God is glorified when people react to Christians' good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5 and verse 16. All right, Christ is to be glorified. In John chapter 17, the whole chapter was his long prayer to God, but basically says, "Father, I have done. I've completed the task you've given me to do. Now, if you will, glorify me as you are." And so Christ is to be glorified. And in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, talking about our temple is our body is the temple of God, and it needs to be glorified. And so glorify God in our bodies. In other words, when we go out, we need to set a good example. We don't need to do anything that would bring shame upon Christ or his church. And so that's how we glorify God in our Bibles, behaving and acting like God wants us to behave. So that's how we glorify God in our bodies. And glory is used in Scripture as a form of boasting. You know, sometimes the people were chastised for promoting their own glory over God's. But yet also remember, you know, Paul, he talked about the fact, I will boast in nothing, I will glory in nothing except Christ and Him crucified. And if anybody had a reason to boast, that's what he said in 2 Corinthians. Paul talked about that fact. Does anybody have any reason to boast any more than I? I am a Jew and of the tribe of Benjamin and circumcised on the eighth day and taught in the ways of the Pharisees, the strictest sect of the Pharisees, at the feet of Gamaliel, a great teacher at that time. And I have upheld the law. Concerning the law, I am blameless. If there's anybody walking this earth, it is me who is blameless enough. But Paul said, you know what? That doesn't cut it. There's something more important than me, and it is Him. So we should be paying attention to Him and giving God the glory. A lot of times, you'll hear people boast about what they've done. They do something nice. Yes, the Lord asked them to do something nice for somebody else, but then they go and brag about it. Hey, look what I did. Or they'll walk over to a homeless person and give them a sandwich or some money. Hey, look what I did, everybody. I'm racking up points. That's basically seems to be their attitude. They're racking up those points. But they're not giving God the glory. It's always me. And a lot of churches do that. We need to show the goodness of the church in our community, and they fail to give God the glory. All right, for those of us who qualify, we know just how proud we are of our grandchildren. They are our glory, and they're something very special. Some of us carry pictures in our wallets and our purses, and some of us have pictures at our home. You come into my home, you're going to find our grandchildren all over the walls, because that's what we do. And we're proud of our grandchildren. We love them, and they're our glory. It's almost like that's what we live for. Now, yes, we live for God. We live to help our fellow man. But yet for our grandchildren, we want to be there. We want to hug them. We want to kiss them and help them develop and mature into the proper kind of person. So, and then some other people, they have something like maybe a trophy or a belt buckle. We had a member of the church in Ranger who was the archery champion 6 years in a row in the state of Texas in his age group. And each year he would get a nice shiny belt buckle and he'd be showing it off. And this was his glory. It's something he accomplished. Now he earned that. He worked very hard to get that. He practiced and he worked very hard to get that. And that was his glory. And he talked about it. But he was also very quick to point out that's really just nothing more than a piece of metal, a piece of clothing. God is the one who's supposed to receive the glory. So I was real proud of him for saying that. In many ways, our spouse is to be our glory. You know, even though the word is not used, this describes the wise woman of Proverbs chapter 31, sometimes called the virtuous woman. Her value is far above rubies, and the husband is proud when she enters the streets. And he's proud of her for what she does because she takes care of others. She feeds her family. She clothes her family. And so that is his glory. And even the husband should be the glory of a woman. Another phrase in our passage there in Psalm 3 is lift up your head. And we hear this phrase sometimes. We know that Job, it is described that he would not lift up his head out of disgrace. And also out of feeling of unworthiness. When Job recognized God was speaking to him, he didn't just sit there and carry on the conversation. He dropped to the ground. And we all should feel that way. If we ever recognize the presence of God in our midst, we need to drop to the ground because He is the one to be glorified. We must humble ourselves before Him. Notice, remember, in Luke 18, the publican went up to the temple to pray along with the Pharisee. The Pharisee prayed thus to himself, but the publican, not even willing to lift his head, but beat upon his chest and said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." And so he demonstrated great humility. Sometimes we think a sense of shame is associated with the phrase about not lifting up the head. And yes, that's very true. Sometimes it happened when the Israelites were carried off by the Assyrians back then. The Assyrians basically stripped them all naked and made them walk that 300, 400 miles naked. That would be so embarrassing. And you wouldn't be lifting up your head and being proud. You'd have disgrace. So you'd lower your head because of that. And of course, the idea is having a great, saint, deep sense of humility is why we would lower our head. But when it comes to God, we don't have to do that. See, here's a phrase that keep lift up your head is one that we're familiar with is keep your chin up. You know, sometimes we run across somebody who has been dealt a bad hand, who has some misfortune come their way, and they just become despondent, depressed, and they don't know what they're going to do. And to offer words of encouragement, keep your chin up. Don't let this get you down. And that's what we try and do for each other. And so we don't want them to be sinking into despair and depression, because it can just lead to all other sorts of problems. So keep your chin up. Hang in there. Because your situation isn't as bad. And it's not as bad as what somebody else might be experiencing. Consider Jeremiah the prophet. What did he do? Well, there's about 8 times in the book of Jeremiah he decides to start talking to God in prayer. And he always starts off, woe is me. They want to kill me. They want to make fun of me. They throw things at me. And I'm just suffering so badly because of this. But before he finished that prayer, he was already turned around. But God, I know you're with me. And I know you're there. And you will lift me up and help see me through this. So yes, that's what happened. He basically was able to talk himself out of it. When we figure out that God is our shield and our glory, we must realize we are pleasing to God. And God will protect us and provide for us. We don't have to worry about what man does. With that behind you, you should keep your head up. We should be very proud of the fact that we are Christians. If we stand for the truth, we should be very proud of that fact. Even though you might get fired as a preacher. I've been fired a couple times because I wouldn't back down from the truth. And my father-in-law, he lost a lot of friends, and he wouldn't back down from the truth. And they said, we don't need you around here anymore. And so that has happened to many preachers that I know. But it wasn't a source of shame or that they would go away with their head bowed low. No. I stood up for God. I said what God wanted to say. I've done my job. I have no reason to be ashamed. All right, when David said these words, he knew that God would restore his dignity and remove his sorrow and disgrace. And that's what David was feeling, but God would restore him. See, oppression and humiliation will cause one's head to be bowed low. And we see that in Genesis chapter 40 and verse 13. And when the Lord lifts one's head, he restores him to his dignity. Or as David says, restore me to my glory. And the Lord did this for mankind in general through the sacrifice of his beloved Son. Here we are, without hope, without God. And God recognized that, said, okay, here's what we can do. He sent his Son to die for us, to give us that opportunity to be once again related to him, have that close relationship, and we become his children, and he is our Father. God is still our shield and our glory. You know, men today may not be pursued by enemies like David was, wanting to kill him. Now, some parts of this world, we have brethren, that is the case for them. And they have to be very cautious and careful. But yet their faith is still strong enough, they don't give up. They don't stop. And we may not have people coming in with guns blazing to take us out because we're Christians. But yet we also recognize the tone of our society is they're getting to the point where they kind of hate us, don't they? And it seems that way. And certainly if they're going to be talking about Christian, they're going to be deriding him, making fun of him. And if they're going to be talking to you, they're going to be persecuting you and saying all sorts of evil things about you. But remember what Jesus said. Blessed are you when that happens. All right. Satan is an enemy, we know, who is always pursuing and afflicting men. Yes, he is roaring about like that lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's not worried about the people in this world. He's attacking Christians. He's attacking you and me. And we know that James chapter 4 tells us if we resist the devil, he will flee from you. And we think, okay, that's great. But guess what? He doesn't stay away. He's over there hiding behind, around the corner, behind that bush, out of your sight, just watching you, waiting for you, like the lion watches the herd to find out which one will be the easiest victim for his prey. And he finds one that might be a little sickly or lame. That's his dinner. He's already figured that out. You know, sometimes they run up there and the animals go everywhere and they walk to sand, come stop and confuse. Okay, what am I going to do now? No, when a lion attacks, he's already picked out his prey. And Satan does the same thing to you and me. He's waiting for us to let down our guard, to have a moment of weakness where he can come in and attack us. So Satan will bring this oppression, this shame and disgrace, resulting in a loss of dignity. And if you give in to what Satan does, you will lose your dignity. Yet just as David, in his trouble, was able to cry to the Lord, men can do the same today. People must recognize their awful condition and seek the Lord in faith. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. They must trust in the Lord to provide what is necessary to escape the affliction that has come upon them because of sin. And in obedient faith, they will do what the Lord says. This is the manner in which men cry to the Lord or call upon the Lord today. And we recognize that in Acts 22:16, Ananias told Saul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." You know, a lot of people, they go back to Acts 2:22, where they're quoting from Habakkuk, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they just stop it right there. They don't say you have to do anything else. Just call on His name. So they go around telling people, "Oh, just say Jesus. Just say His name and you'll be saved." But that's not what the Bible says. And 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 says, "Now baptism doth also now save you. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an appeal of a good conscience towards God." That is how we call upon the Lord, by following and obeying His commandments. In James 4, beginning verse 7, says, "Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable, and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you." See, some of these sentences are very similar to our passage back in Psalm chapter 3. All right. Now, have you considered faith? Have you enough faith to consider God your shield? That's the question each and every one of you are going to have to ask yourself. Are you proud enough to claim God in a glorious way? Are you proud enough to proclaim to the world, "I am a Christian. Jesus is my Lord"? Are you proud enough to do that all the time? Do you give God and Jesus the glory they deserve? See, they made it all possible. They gave you your blessings. Do you give them the glory for these things? And see, the glory that Jesus now has, He got it because of the things He did. Remember, that's what it says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. By the things which He suffered, He learned obedience. And as a result, He was brought to the right hand of God. And He became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. Yes, Jesus has that glory now. He is glorified as He requested in John 17. And the great thing about it is one of these days, if we remain faithful, according to Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, we will share in that glory. Now think about that. That just might give you goosebumps to think about that. We will share in the glory of Christ, in the glory of God, but only if we make it, when we get there. So are you walking about in shame, or can you bring yourself to lift up your head in humility? That's a question you need to answer, and we're going to offer the invitation if anyone has a need to respond because of that reason, to get right with God so you can lift up your head once again. We stand here to assist you while together we stand and sing.